Who has to cover the cost of building up energy infrastructure when a big data center comes to town? State regulators are now weighing in on a proposal from Meta in Beaver Dam. It's Friday, May 8th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Congratulations on making it to another Friday. Coming up on the show today, the Department of Public Instruction weighs in on a controversial book ban in Menominee Falls. And in honor of Mother's Day this weekend, we'll hear from a Wisconsin woman sharing memories of her mom and her lasting impact. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Public Radio stays connected with the whole state. Thanks to its network of 8 bureaus, with reporters on the ground across Wisconsin, WPR provides a news service that connects with issues that matter to your life. Stay in touch with WPR.
Wisconsin utility regulators signed off on Alliant Energy's proposed rates for Meta's $1 billion data center campus in Beaver Dam. But as Danielle Kading reports, they ordered the utility to set a standard rate for future data center customers.
The Public Service Commission is requiring Alliant to set standard rates for large loads of 100 megawatts or more from future data centers. That's equivalent to a large power plant. Regulators also called for more reporting, cost of service studies, and an analysis to show what Alliant's system would look like with and without energy demand from Meta. PSC Chair Summer Strand sharply criticized Alliant and Meta for a lack of transparency on their proposed rate agreement.
Initially, it was like pulling teeth here to increase the transparency.
Alliant's application initially hid details on the amount of energy Meta would use and the length of the utility's agreement with the tech giant. An Alliant spokesperson says its contract ensures the company and not existing customers would pay the full cost of energy investments to serve the data center. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Another Republican from a competitive Wisconsin Assembly district is calling it quits. Representative Jesse Rodriguez of Oak Creek announced yesterday that she will not be seeking another term. She was first elected to the Assembly in 2013. Rodriguez represents one of a handful of districts that will likely decide control of the legislature in November. According to an analysis by Marquette University, her seat leans Democratic, and her district was carried by Kamala Harris by around 4 points in the last presidential election. Her decision follows a similar announcement late last month from Nina Republican Representative Dean Cofert. He represents another Democratic-leaning district. Republicans currently have a 54-45 majority in the Assembly. That means if Democrats flip a net of 5 seats, they'll take the majority. The head of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs says Wisconsin medical centers are hiring. That's despite the agency's work to eliminate tens of thousands of workers across the federal system last year. Hope Kerwin has more from Sparta, where the VA secretary spoke with Wisconsin veterans yesterday.
Speaking at the Sparta American Legion, VA Secretary Doug Collins fielded a number of questions from veterans about efforts to reduce paperwork for benefits and ensure timely access to healthcare providers. The VA system cut 30,000 employees during the last federal fiscal year. At the same time, a report last fall found severe medical staffing shortages at nearly all facilities. But Collins disputes claims that medical centers like the ones in Wisconsin are not able to hire the staff they need.
The part that we had with staffing issue is in the VA is making sure we have the right people at the right place. Just simply hiring to be hiring is not a solution to anything.
He says VA hospitals face the same challenges recruiting and retaining medical staff as the rest of the nation's healthcare system. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture recently cut a grant program meant to help new farmers access land. The Center for Ayers Property was awarded $8.5 million. It was in the middle of a 5-year grant agreement when the USDA scrapped it. CEO Jenny Steffens says the money was going to organizations offering legal services, financial education, and technical assistance in Texas, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Alabama. The project was helping people who have inherited Ayers property, which is land passed down without a clear title or ownership.
Some of our landowners say God is not making any more land. So if you want those young farmers to be able to access land, heirs property, they may have land, but they can't utilize it because it's owned by multiple folks.
She says there are now 42 landowners who are in limbo because of this grant cut. The Department of Public Instruction's ruling this week on a book ban in Menominee Falls will do little to affect school district policy. But since the discrimination complaint was filed, leadership in the district has changed. Menominee Falls parents filed the complaint after the school district removed more than 30 library books, including a children's book about same-sex marriage. DPI says it has limited authority to assess whether the school district of Menominee Falls violated its local policies or the law because Wisconsin is a local control state. District parent Michelle Kramer says she's disappointed in how long DPI took to review the complaint, but she says that the final ruling is still a win.
This has really moved the village and brought everybody together, so that's something that we've been really excited about too, which shows in everybody's engagement and election results that we now have a board that the majority will support all families in our district.
The school district must provide DPI with a description of a reputable organization that it will use in the future to assess reading materials. The owner of a food truck is suing the city of Milwaukee over a new ordinance that limits operating hours. Evan Casey has the details.
The Milwaukee Common Council passed an ordinance last month that prohibits food trucks from operating past 10 p.m. downtown. The old cutoff was 1 a.m. The change was part of an effort by city leaders to address late-night violence in areas where people gather near bars. The new hours start on Saturday. But the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty filed a lawsuit on behalf of Abdallah Ismail, the owner of Fatty Patty Food Trucks. Ismail estimates more than 50% of his business comes after 10 p.m.
The right decision for me, it will be closing the business, closing that location.
The lawsuit alleges the ordinance violates the Wisconsin Constitution by infringing on his rights to, quote, earn an honest living. The city attorney said he can't comment on pending litigation. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, a story for Mother's Day about how one woman's mom influenced the way she sees her own femininity. That's after this.
Hi there, it's Rachel Martin from NPR News. I am proud to work with stations around the country, including WPR, to bring you news that you can trust. We search out the backstory, give voice to the diversity of our nation, question along with you, and share moments of beauty, moments of joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work when you give at WPR.org. Thanks.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story for Mother's Day.
Many of us are grateful for everything our mothers taught us. For Jana Rose Schleiss, she's thankful that her mother taught her how to be beautiful.
I learned how to be a woman from my mom. What I mean is, I learned how to express my femininity from her. This isn't unique to me. For a lot of people, our mother is our first beauty standard. We grow up thinking she's the prettiest woman in the world. For girls, at some point in our lives, we gotta decide what kind of woman we wanna be and how we present that to the world. Through a million minuscule choices, we express ourselves and our femininity. The older I get, the more I realize I've been modeling myself off mom in subtle and not so subtle ways. My mother was a teacher. She also had 5 kids and a dairy farm to help run. When we were younger, she didn't have time for frivolous beauty trends or anything that wasn't practical. My 3 sisters and I, however, wanted everything new and impractical the early aughts could offer. Blue eyeshadow, the infamous Rachel haircut, and oh my gosh, flip-flops. When my mother goes out, her routine is this. Makeup, mascara, a bit of eyeliner, lipstick, hair. A few curls applied to her cropped locks, then brush back. Accessories. She keeps her most worn jewelry in a shot glass in the kitchen cupboard. I don't know how this became the norm. It drives my father, who bought much of it, crazy. She dumps the glass out, chooses a pair of small hooped earrings, and puts the many gold rings she wears on her hands. She's ready. I'm 30 now, and I've had plenty of time to experiment with my femininity. For style, there was the mismatch floral print phase, the crop tops and platforms phase, and this was all just during college. My hair journey has been similarly chaotic. For the few years I was a wannabe hippie, I didn't cut or even brush my hair. I could tell it drove my mother nuts, but she had a light, perhaps sometimes passive-aggressive touch. I'd receive gift cards for haircuts and the quick aside of, run a comb through your hair and then we'll go. But overall, she knew I needed to work through this stuff on my own. I've been dyeing my naturally brunette hair red for 10 years. This vibrant hair has become my brand, if you will. A friend recently asked why I chose this color. I told the story of how it initially happened. I got a horrid haircut before studying abroad. I bought a box of dye and tried to take control of the situation. To my 20-year-old self, this made sense. But looking back, it's obvious why red is the ideal beauty standard to me. For as long as I can remember, my mom's hair has been dyed shades of auburn. By the way she carries herself, my mother has taught me to never be ashamed of my body. She's always seemed so comfortable in hers. Something I'm very thankful for in a world that sends women messages like, you're too fat, you're too tall, you're too loud, you're too assertive, you're too independent, and the choices you've made are wrong. When I was younger, my mom let me be whatever I needed to be. All through puberty and the many confusing chapters after, I could always come to mom. She'd take me and my questions about my body and beauty seriously. I have nieces now, and I know they're watching, taking in the variety of women around them. They giggle at my armpit fuzz, want to touch my nose ring. They'll grow into their femininity one day too, play around with it and try different things. I'm so grateful they have many strong and beautiful women in their lives to take cues from. When I go out, my routine is this. Makeup, mascara, brows, lipstick. Hair, a few curls, brushed back. Accessories. From a jewelry box, I choose a variety of cheap gold rings and a pair of earrings. I know I'm ready. I know I'm beautiful because of mom.
Gianna Rose Schleiss brought us that story on her beautiful mother. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, we'll get a quick check of your forecast before letting you go for the day. Highs getting into the 60s under a mixture of sunshine and clouds today. Overnight lows in the 30s and 40s with a chance for rain in the south. Highs in the 50s and 60s tomorrow, but a little cooler for Mother's Day Sunday with highs only getting into the 50s. That'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.